Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 395. In the news, not a whole lot going on. There's been some developments in terms of recognition with Florida and Prince Hall, but it seems as though there's still no visitation amongst brethren, which is kind of a bummer. Not kind of, but a huge bummer, really. But here's hoping for the future. This week, I feel like Doc Holliday in Tombstone. I feel like I'm dying. I'm pretty sick, actually. So the episode is going to be a short one, and I hope you enjoy still, and we'll be back with a longer episode next week. One of the things I did want to mention at the top of the show is that when I was at Masonic Con at the end of last month, I got to meet this brother who invented a game, a card game called Franklin's Fortune. And I got a copy of the game, and we played it, and I fell in love with it. It's really fun. It's a deck collecting game. It's not something you have to constantly go buy packs for or anything like that. But it's a really great game that's based on, it feels kind of like Monopoly, but you can't win and destroy your opponents with money. It's like real life. It uses virtues, like Ben Franklin's virtues, healthy, wealthy, and wise. The idea is that your whole family loves the game. It's recommended for ages 14 and up. Well, I'm here to tell you that my astute 10-year-old played this game, and he's like a king. In fact, when we played, I still won. Woo! But he came in such a close second. It was 39-46. And it was fantastic. I wrote a little bit about it on my personal Facebook page, but essentially, you know, Emmett is a very astute 10-year-old. He picked it up very quickly. I think a lot of people can pick this up. You just kind of play with the rule book in front of you, and you just get going. It's really easy to set up. It's really fun. It doesn't take, like, a huge space to play. Learn valuable life lessons from Ben Franklin as they gain energy, persistence, and earn sterling, which is the money in the game. Franklin's Fortune is an exciting new deck-building game played on a tabletop. Acquire cards from the common using energy and persistence. Use your renewable resources and sterling, the monetary resource. Earn sterling by working your occupation so you can be a laborer, an investor, or a proprietor. And then you use those earnings to buy education and experience and increase the amount of sterling that you win. And the player that accumulates the majority of Franklin's fortune wins. So, like, you have to build your deck. And each deck card is 1 point, and each 10 sterling is 1 point. So it's not all about money. You can't win the game if you go all in just for the cash. You have to spend in the right areas to get virtues, and it's just awesome. But if you go to WCYpodcast.com, click on more, and you'll see a link to Franklin's Fortune. If you click through the link on our website, use promo code WCY, you're going to get $5 off your order, which is really great. Again, the game is really fun. If you get the game and you play it, you got to write me. Let me know how you love it. Immediately, my son and I want to build like a nice wooden box and put it all together like it's this fantastic rad game that we can pull out and play together. It's our new favorite. It blows Monopoly out of the water. So anyway, check it out. Did want to mention that it's a new way to support this show, and also this thing presented itself and the game is so cool, we worked out a deal. So basically you get a deal, the show gets supported, and it's an educational product that is really fun. So that's the only thing we ever go for. Win-win-wins. But anyway, check it out. Really appreciate it. You're not going to be sorry. In other news, I have to give a big shout-out to my brothers of Milburn Lodge 127 out in Lake Villa, Milburn, Illinois. I went out there to do Esoterics 101, and they were a great audience, and it was so cool to be at home in my home district doing a lecture. Brother Jay, Brother John, these guys are just amazing brothers, love education, and they're open to the deeper significance of things. So it's really cool. I do need to mention that May 27th, May 28th, and I'll be doing two different presentations. May 27th, I'll be at Mount Zion Chapter, number 16, in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to do the presentation on the Word. And then on May 28th, I'm going to do Colonial Freemasonry. And then on May 31st, I'll be in Madison, Ohio at Lakeshore Lodge 307 to do likely Colonial Masonry. And then, of course, June 15th, the big Esotericon. What is Esotericon? Well, I'll let Joe Martinez talk about that in a little bit. But keep an eye out for announcements on any of those things. I did have to cancel a few lectures later in the year, so my apologies goes out to those brothers and those lodges that reached out to get me going out there. But with PTO and summer vacations, trying to line up with the kids and make sure I'm here and around with the kids, I did have to do some rescheduling. So the first piece I have for you this week is called Masters of the Universe and Freemasonry. It's by myself. Published it on the Midnight Freemasons last week. And really, if you haven't read Darren Lehner's piece from last week, he outlined some really interesting things. And one of the things that he ended his piece on was the words, "We have to try." It was in relation to attempting to change Freemasonry for the better. A few sentences earlier, he said, change happens from the ground up in Freemasonry, and he's absolutely 100% correct. So think of grassroots type style. But before proceeding, I want to make myself absolutely transparent here. I'm not advocating or even suggesting an us and them relationship when it comes to Freemasonry and camps, the members at the Lodge and the Grand Lodge. Quite the contrary. There is only us. We are the Grand Lodge. We've chosen representatives who represent us. Grand Lodges exist today to assist in the administration of the fraternity. The education and experience you provide is up to the Lodge. Grassroots solutions and practices filter their way up and become either the scourge of a Grand Lodge jurisdiction or common practice based on the determination of those who evaluate the preservation of the work. Chambers of reflection, pits in the West, actual accosting, requiring more than memorization to advance through degrees, or none at all. Background checks on candidates, credit checks, whatever the case may be, the lodges are in control of this. Whether you agree or disagree on the elements I've stated above or any others you may find yourself pondering, we can all agree on one thing. We are the unified front that controls the fraternity. The Grand Lodge is you. Want something changed? Submit a resolution. Get the signatures. Want to adopt something? Do the work to make it happen. Follow the protocol set forth to make it happen. I make an emphasis here because nothing good ever comes from coups or slamming Grand Lodges online or anything else abrasive. It's about doing it and doing it the right way because it can be done. I guess my main point is in this short blurb today is that Freemasonry is not passive. You're not just a Freemason 30 minutes before the meeting. You don't cram everything you were supposed to accomplish over the last 30 days and the 30 minutes before the next meeting. Your meeting minutes shouldn't come out the day before the next meeting. A pet peeve. Those really should be published within 2 days of a meeting so that people have 26, 25 days to gain the insights that you've given them. We must work, firing on all cylinders, all the time. And there are those of us who do this. We try and make up for the 90% who don't. Even if you want to fight against change, do it. Get active, though. The Grand Master of your jurisdiction was a regular dues-paying member just like you. He worked hard, had a vision, and got involved. Look at the image below. Now, I'm reading this to you, but the image below shows a map of the United States as a representation if I didn't vote and where that would win. And it's like, overwhelmingly, the United States just didn't vote. That's right. All that I didn't vote is very representative to the passiveness that the majority of Freemasons see around them. The inactive, dues-paying, complaining with no actual kind of paradigm. I didn't vote represents all of the apathy we have. It's proportionally the same within any organization. The majority are along for the ride. Don't be along for the ride. Drive. Stay thirsty. Fight for it. Believe it. If you build it, they will come. Be the change. Just do it. Need any more adverts to get you motivated? Look at North Carolina and their education platform. Look at Ohio and theirs. Grand Lodges are beginning to adopt rigorous and intense candidate education programs. Why? Because someone decided it was time. They did the work. They spoke to the right people. They became Atlas, holding it all and being that guy for a while. But they can't be there forever. Someone needs to step up. Be that person. This is you, a master of the universe, a He-Man. You have the power. Get to work. The future of everything is at stake.
Hello, Whence Came You fans. This is Brother Joe Martinez from Manassas, Virginia. Your illustrious host, Brother Robert Johnson, has allowed me to take a few seconds of his program to remind you about our very special event, the inaugural Mid-Atlantic Esotericon, which will be held on June 15, 2019, at Manassas Lodge No. 182 in Manassas, Virginia. This all-day event will include both tiled and untiled presentations from many of your favorite esoteric authors and speakers, to include John T. Ruark, Frater O., Greg Kaminsky, P.D. Newman, Pierce Vaughn, Jamie Lamb, Don McAndrews, and your very own Robert Johnson. Vendors will include the ever-popular Masonic Revival and Ascended Masters clothing. Lunch will be catered, with coffee and snacks available throughout the entire day. For more information, visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/MAEsotericon. If you're looking for a more introspective, thought-provoking, and deeply engaging way to start your summer, look no further than the Mid-Atlantic Esotericon. And as always, thank you to my dear brother, Robert Johnson, for this time to promote what will certainly be an event to remember.
Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on direct donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. Help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com. But also, we had some other affiliates that are really important. Banker's Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Banker's Best Beard and Skin Care. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Banker's Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skin care, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first Grand Master. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Banker's Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also have a code with On It. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to On It, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to onit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruark, it is making some real waves, and people are using it and seeing success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out.
All right, now my next article is by Senior Midnight Freemason contributor, Worshipful Brother Greg J. Knott. There's a lot of stuff that's going on out in Grand Lodges today that have to do with leadership, and a lot of it isn't good. So whatever jurisdiction you're in, the programs are really lacking. Greg Knott started a series on Masonic leadership. This is the second post. The first one is called What is Leadership? And if you haven't had a chance, go back and check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes. But for this one, he says, in my last article, What is Leadership?, I touched on the subject of reframing leadership based on the book Reframing Academic Leadership, Lee G. Bowman and Joan V. Gallows, that I read last summer as part of a program at Harvard University. My goal is to take the four leadership frames outlined in this book, structural, human resource, people, political, and symbolic, and see how they might be used within the context of the Masonic fraternity. Before we begin a discussion of reframing, what is framing itself? Framing is how information is presented by an individual, group, or organization to make an argument, persuade action or influence, or help direct a desired outcome. Politicians use framing constantly to take select set of information or data and present this in a format, a story, social media post, etc., to persuade the public opinion or voters in their favor. Some examples of framing within the Masonic fraternity might be, we make good men better, to be one, ask one, or you get out of it what you put into it. We have all heard these at some point in our Blue Lodges. This framing of the fraternity influences how we do our work, present ourselves to the outside world, and operate administratively. The one thing you have read over and over and over on this blog, and numerous other Masonic social media sites, is that our fraternity's seemingly endless struggle with change or innovations. The charge to the worshipful master in some jurisdictions says, quote, you admit that it is not in the power of any man or any body of men to make innovations in the body of Freemasonry, end quote. My belief is that reframing and the four leadership frames can give leaders within this fraternity the tools to help shape our fraternity in the years ahead. Reframing is the ability to look beyond the current situation or framework. Bowman says of leaders, the ability to reframe sets them free. Reframing gives a leader the opportunity to view the same thing through more than one perspective. But why reframe? Processes that are automatic can be slowed down to give time for perspective and consideration for improvement. Reframing will allow you to expand what you see and improve the quality of your sense-making. What you see determines what you do. By expanding what you see allows you to understand that there is often more than what meets the eye. Leaders can run into trouble when they see too little, see it wrong, or get so hooked in doing things your own view of the truth. In other words, you need to reframe how you are seeing things as an opportunity to help lead change within the organization. In my next installment, we will examine structural reframing and the three P's of change: patience, persistence, and process. Greg Knott. All right, there you go. Check out the preceding article. Again, we'll have a link back to that, and we'll have these two papers right here on the WCY podcast application. How to get the app? Well, download Podcast Source, search for it within the application, add it to your favorite shows, use the soft key to download all of the bonus features, including, most of the time, the papers that we read on the show. All right, again, sorry for this short episode. I have got to take some medicine and get back to resting. I do hope everybody out there has a wonderful week. And remember, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.